Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jacob's Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to our World Cup podcast back home with me, Paul Hawksby.
And me, Andy Jacobs. And today we'll look back on wins for Switzerland and Portugal, yet another 0-0 draw. And of course, Richarlison's wonder goal was rather a decent goal for Brazil.
And as we've now seen both Messi and Ronaldo at this tournament, we'll cross to Qatar to chat to the authors of a new book on the pair, plus England fans.org's Dom Smith, ahead of the USA tomorrow, and Andy.
Yes, and Alan Fletcher, Dr. Carl in Neighbours, joins us to talk Socceroos and explain how the world's best soap rose from the dead.
Marvelous. That's right, the best news Andy has had in months. Neighbours has got a, he's on death row, but it's got had its last meal. But it's back.
It's back.
Anyway, yes. An interesting day of, well, I'd say that. The games weren't the greatest, but plenty of talking points emerged from them.
I don't know anyone can watch four games a day, honestly.
I did manage it today. I've managed most days, to be honest. They're on. And I know we're going to be talking about them. So
honestly, when Brazil went 2-0 up, I was so bored. I watched highlights of the third day of the Ashes test from 1978.
If you'd done that in the Ghana-Portugal game, you may have been pushing your luck. It could have ended up being 3-3. Yeah. I don't know if I was only aware of this earlier on today, that when teams are scoring goals, you're hearing different music. This is because they were asked by FIFA, tunes that they might like played should they score a goal. And every country has chosen their piece of music. England have gone for one that a couple of other countries have also chosen, which was Freed from Desire by Gala. It went quite route one. Yeah. Although they've got an alternative one, and they score a lot of goals, which is One Kiss by Dua Lipa, which is, of course, Martin Lipton's music from the someone he joins us as a guest. I'm just going to play you one now, Andy. This little bit of music here, because there's a pretty good chance you won't actually hear it during the tournament. Have a listen to this. Yeah, that's Costa Rica's goal music. So it seems a shame not to give it an airing, doesn't it? I think it's only right that they get a little bit of PRS out of it. It's called Olé Olé by Los Ayenlos. A dead loss, I would imagine.
Or Joe Loss.
Or Joe Loss and his orchestra, yeah.
Talking of singing, I noticed, I didn't talk about this yesterday, but Oliver Harvey in The Sun, he transcribed the England chant. I don't know what it is about chants when you transcribe them, but I'll read it out exactly as it goes. And I don't know this song, but you'll be able to tell it. This is the England song during the game on Monday. They bellowed, 1, 2, 3, 4, whoa, England are drinking in Doha, whoa, drinking Coca-Cola, whoa, England's going on the way. I mean, seriously. Was it like that? I can't imagine it was.
Well, I'm not sure they sang it like that in quite a tuneless way. I mean, that really did take some doing, but they won't be singing it again based on that if it's sung back to them. Another problem for England fans, Andy, has been dressing up as Crusaders.
Going to
the match. Yeah, kick it out of pointed out to people that they should maybe not go to games in a Muslim country dressed as knights or crusaders. There is an old football song, And If You Know Your History, which is sung by a number of clubs, Everton and Spurs, and I think Celtic. So I think just Wikipedia the Crusades before you put that on, because one or two have been turned away, apparently, those outfits.
Talking of singing, the Cameron coach, Rigobert Song, of course, who played in England. I did think TV formats for him are absolute natural, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they would be. Yeah, that's so great.
I've got singer, not the song. Rigobert looks at sewing machines throughout the ages.
Yeah, because I suppose you could have the song remains the same for the Led Zeppelin fans. I haven't really given this any thought.
No, I haven't given it any thought.
A man
at
who
all.
Never ages, I would imagine.
And Cameron also had a combi, and I've asked him around to fix my boiler. Very good, he's registered.
Well, this time, find out if he is Corgi registered a combi. That would be great if we could have someone in the press conference just to ask that question. Just a quick question, a combi. Are you Corgi registered? Anyway, yeah. Good news for Wales tomorrow before their game against Iran. The lino, one of the linos in this game, is called Caleb Wales.
Okay, that's good.
He's from Trinidad. So
that's an omen, isn't it?
If there's a little moment, does the flag go off? And they've got VAR, of course, to back it up. But I think it is a pretty decent omen, yes. Oh, by the way, the president of Costa Rica has said he hopes to see his team, Costa Rica, win the World Cup before he dies. Good luck with that one, mate. I don't know how old he is at the moment.
Yeah, duck it out.
I hope he's 11.
It'd be great if the VAR in the Welsh is Bert Swansea. They're all real. Got the association. Yeah. I've come up with a solution for Pugas. Mark Pugac.
We should point out, people haven't heard this. You've got this theory that you would much rather be doing the Autumn International Rugby. You think he's a rugger man, Andy. You've got this unfounded theory that you're pushing every day.
Yeah. I think he should link the whole thing from Twickenham. Like just him in the stadium. Everybody else is in Qatar. He's just on his own there. I think it worked. I noticed he's wearing striped sort of rugby shirt socks today.
You're now looking for stuff.
I am. I'm looking for rugby links.
There really, aren't you? You are probably definitely doing a little bit of that.
Great. Did you see Infantino has welcomed North Korea as a host nation? Honestly.
Has he?
He said, I'd be delighted if North Korea bid for the World Cup. Honestly, apart from Putin, is there anybody worse?
Well, I mean, you know, he's covered quite a few despots. I mean, he hasn't got many places to go, has he? It's interesting. All the England boys are surrounded by all this top technology in the hotel to stop them getting bored. But ultimately, they're a young side and kids will be kids. So have you seen what they've been playing? They've been playing something called the Cutlery Cup, which involves laying forks on the table and trying to roll coins into the teeth of the fork. I mean, sort of thing, you know, you open all the Christmas, it's like the thing you give your kids, you spend 500 quid on presents for them, they either play with a box or they go and get a fork and a couple of 20p's and spend the evening doing that. You think, what was the point on that?
It's good. And Peter Walton, that's why I heard him for the first time today.
Yeah,
I was thinking about this. Who at ITV heard him on BT and thought, I know who we need.
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
I know. He was explaining a point. This had never happened in my house before, but excuse me. He was explaining a point, and as he did so, the oxygen mask fell out of the ceiling. And I just pulled it down and got, honestly, there was no atmosphere at all. I just pulled it down slightly and put it on one of the kids. They always tell you to do that.
The first half of Portugal-Ghana wasn't the worst thing I've seen today. That was a TikTok video of Brooklyn Becker making a gin and tonic.
That sounds like a winner.
Oh, a real winner.
The amount of listeners who are going to go and check that out now. Maybe we should talk about Portugal-Ghana. I did like Anti Ziggy. He's not Finnish. He's only 28. He's not Ghanaian. Anti Ziggy. It's like he hates early Bowie.
Anti Ziggy.
The Ghanaian keeper. I love the Ghanaian band. They were fantastic. It was a kind of lot of raspy trumpets. And I loved all the tunes, but it could be that they're playing the equivalent of the Steptoe theme and Sweet Caroline. It's just I don't know them because they're from Ghana.
People in Ghana like me are going, I hate that band. They're really awful.
I thought they were really good. Yeah, I wouldn't know if they were good or not, but they were great.
You pointed out that the whole of the back five of South Korea were called Kim.
Yes.
I did think it could be quite confusing. Kim's ball.
they
all go for it. Of course, one person who's desperate for them to do well, though, is Kim Marsh.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. Once he gets out of Strictly. What did we learn? I mean, we're going to talk a bit about Cristiano Ronaldo in a few moments' time in a bit more detail. Fernando Santos, the Portugal manager, Wexford, of course. And it just feels like I've been watching him prowl that box with a kind of gob on my whole life. Yeah. I've just been there since 1970, the first World Cup I can remember. And I think when he retires, they should let him just walk around the technical area in that suit with his tie undone, looking miserable even after they've scored.
I look forward to seeing him at North Korea 2030. Yeah, tremendous.
Well, that's the sort of job he'd get, wouldn't it? They bring in a really experienced guy. I'd love to see him doing that. I mean, who want that job, North Korea's manager, for a while? Imagine the kind of, what would happen if you lost?
That wouldn't be great.
You'd have to go back to go and pick up your check, would you?
I think it's one for Alan Buckley.
South Korea, Uruguay, Andy, we should talk a little bit about that. Is there anything you noticed from that game?
No, because I didn't watch very much of it. I was out. Unsurprisingly, I have got some sort of life.
Oh, okay. I'm getting this completely wrong then.
Yeah. No, I watched half an hour of the first game in the morning. That was good. Then I watched the second half of Portugal-Ghana, which was a good choice because that was decent. And then I watched tonight's game. There was a moment, though, when Neymar's shirt came off. That's very unusual, actually. He sort of got tackled. Then he saw that and his shirt came off in the tackle. And it reminded me of the terrible hooky Neymar shirt that Moose bought in Brazil. Yeah, he wore every day for 4 weeks.
He did.
And cleavage.
It gave him a cleavage. It was a very low neck. So it was kind of, always thought he needed a string of pearls to set it off or something like that. Now, Andy, you've always got this thing about is so-and-so related to so-and-so? You always ask questions.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Smith, you know.
Pien
Mühlenstein, the commentator, yes, worked with Danny Murphy. She's having a really good World Cup.
She's excellent.
She's an excellent commentator, isn't she?
Really good.
And I'm surprised you've not said Mühlenstein.
I looked it up.
I thought you might have done. Yes, she's Rene's daughter.
She's Rene's daughter, yeah.
But no, I think she's excellent. She had a good game with Danny Murphy today. I enjoyed that one.
She's really good, yeah. So that was good. I can bring you today's diverse lineup at beIN Sports.
Oh, yeah.
It was, honestly, they're really pushing the boat out. So, well, it was a little bit more diverse. It was John Terry and Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
And Robbie is Irish.
That's true. That's getting pretty diverse. I should point out, in the Portugal-Ghana game, I'd just written down the words, João Félix has been crap. As he tucked that one into the corner.
That always happens.
Always a great feeling, isn't it? Also, Brazil-Serbia, do you notice Brazil always used to walk out hand in hand before games? You remember the players used to walk out hand in hand? And then they did this thing where they would put the hand on the player in front shoulder. All that had gone. Tonight, they just walked out like any other team. And I thought, possibly in Qatar, they would have thought that was a protest. I mean, if they'd all walked out hand in hand, they probably
They were told not. They don't like seeing men holding hands. I bet they've been doing it.
They've not done it at recent World Cups, but it was something that was always part of the old Brazilian brand, wasn't it? Really, you used to see them doing that. Did you like Kachichi's suit tonight? The matching kind of powder blue suit and shirt combo. I mean,
yeah, it didn't particularly register with me. I thought he looked very nice. Yeah, very smart.
He looked very well turned out. The Milinkovic-Savic brothers. We shouldn't forget the one who wasn't there, Robbie.
Robbie Milinkovic.
He wasn't there. He doesn't. He's kind of dropped the Milinkovic these days, but sadly, he never made it. Didn't qualify for Serbia.
I've noticed, as you get older, you get a bit more thick set. It happens to all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know? But I've noticed Shaqiri. He's getting more thick set than ever. By the end of his career, he's going to fit perfectly inside a square cardboard box. He's the squarest man I've ever seen.
So you can send him somewhere.
I will. Yeah.
I think he's going to be a big old unit when we see him in time. Do you think he'll in the future, you think he'll
yeah, be, when he's running,
he'll be a
pub.
Big lad. When he's running a Geneva. Do you think Shaqiri will need to run a pub?
I don't really know.
The Royal Oak in Witham or something. It just seems unlikely. Jordan Shaqiri will open a pub in Essex. I'm just
kidding. Honestly, and also Martin Keown tonight, he's fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah.
In the first half, when Richarlison, wasn't particularly playing well, he said, oh, well, he hasn't scored much for Tottenham this year. You know, he's not really. And then he goes, he's totally informed. He's a real predator, he said. It's not what you said in the first half. You said he wasn't any good.
He was absolutely gutted when Richarlison scored that goal, wasn't he? He was saying, you have to say that's a great goal, biting through his bottom lip so much there was blood running down his chin. Yeah. But yes, I mean, yeah, it was a sensational goal, wasn't it? It was just a ridiculous goal.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he took it on the volley, turned, swiveled, and hit it. It's interesting watching him play at Tottenham. He's never been in those positions very often. He got those two goals against Marseille, but generally he's played wider, a little bit deeper, and he's just not popped up in those areas. So
that's where he played for Everton, wasn't it? Really wider. Yeah. Do you see that Everton are on tour in Australia?
Yeah.
Can you believe that? What is the point of that? Oh, brilliant.
Mad.
Well done.
So we got three fine guests joining us this evening. Dom Smith, who's been joining us to talk England from englandfootball.org. He's going to pop up, look at the USA game. And also later on, Dr. Carl, Alan Fletcher from Neighbours. It will return next year on Amazon. And he's very excited. And we'll talk a bit of soccer. He's a huge Liverpool fan as well. So, yeah, that's all coming up.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
We start today talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, who had a real impact on the match against Ghana, eventually. And Lionel Messi, a new book on the two men, Messi versus Ronaldo, one rivalry, two goats, and the era that remade the world's game, by Jonathan Clegg and Joshua Robinson. Both guys were at the game today, and they went to the match earlier this week between Argentina and Saudi Arabia. And we're very pleased to say one of the authors, Jonathan Clegg, joins us now from Qatar. Good afternoon. Oh, sorry. Yes, good evening, Jonathan.
Good evening. Good morning, I think. It's just gone midnight. So yeah.
Well, good evening. Good morning. Okay. The time difference is really messing us up. Yeah, so, look, you've seen both men. You've seen both men that you've written about in the books. I mean, what have you made of their opening performance? And maybe we should start with Ronaldo, as it's fresher in the mind.
Yes. I mean, in all honesty, I think what we saw was very different from what we were expecting coming into the tournament. If you'd asked me a few days ago, I would have said that, Lionel Messi and Argentina looked like strong favourites to win it. And I wasn't exactly sure what Ronaldo was going to give us after this season, that's sort of seen him play very infrequently and really kind of blow things up with his club. So, that's not how it transpired, obviously. I think the Ronaldo that we saw today was certainly not vintage Ronaldo. That the first half, actually, he kind of fluffed a couple of pretty good opportunities. At halftime, it was not looking great. But, he did what he usually does, which is, found a way to get on the score sheet. And really, his goal kind of re-energized and revitalized that whole game, which had been pretty dull up to that point. And we saw, a sort of explosion of action there on, and Portugal holding on to win 3-2, is a good result for them. And looks like they're headed to the knockout rounds, I would say. Mm. Messi and Argentina, remains to be seen how they sort of respond to that Saudi defeat, which really, came out of nowhere. I think entered this tournament on the back of 30 plus games unbeaten. They had not lost a game in which Messi scored since 2009. So the fact that they took the lead through Messi and then coughed it up, obviously one of the great World Cup shocks of all time.
Absolutely.
You said Ronaldo did what he normally does. He did actually. Yeah, he got a 50 went for a 50-50 challenge and dived, and he got a penalty.
Exactly. I mean, his reputation carries a lot of weight, and so, when he hits the floor in the area, referees generally point to the spot, and that's what we saw.
He was very emotional, Jonathan, wasn't he, at the start? He looked like he was on the verge of tears. He's normally always got a bit of a game face on, but you just wonder if what's gone on the last couple of weeks, and knowing, and I saw your piece you wrote with Joshua for the Wall Street Journal, saying the last dance for these.
That's two. Right.
Maybe that realisation, this is one of the last times he's going to do this as a Portugal player.
Yes, I think that definitely plays a part. We were there in Porto back in March when Portugal played their playoff against North Macedonia to qualify for the World Cup. And that was another occasion when he looked very, very emotional. And I think he is very aware of, Ronaldo is a guy who is very aware of his legacy, perhaps more aware of his own legacy than any footballer who has ever lived. And I think he is very aware of what this tournament means and could mean to his legacy, particularly now after the last few weeks and months that he's had, which, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is a guy who has lived an incredibly charmed existence. So to say these are the toughest months, few months of his life is not really saying a lot, but it has been difficult for him. I think he is, you know, we saw in the interview that he's been bottling up a lot of this stuff for, you know, the best part of, you know, 18 months, certainly at least a year. And I think some of that, you know, sort of started to come out when the national anthem played. Like you mentioned, his eyes did look a little glassy, like he was about ready to tear up. Yeah, and I do think he's very aware of what a successful tournament here could mean for the sort of final chapter of his career, which, to be honest, looked like it was sort of petering out into a bit of an inglorious end up till, you know, up till today.
I'll have a good laugh when they go out, actually. He's a great player, but for me, I can't stick him. I think he's like an ego on legs. You know, he's a fantastic footballer, but he's not a team man. He never really has been. And I much prefer Messi as aesthetically to watch. And I think it's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
Yeah, people are in one camp or the other, or something, which is as your book discusses. Yeah, just finally as well, Jonathan, it's odd to say this about a player like Ronaldo, but this is a little bit of a shop window for him as well. Al Hilal apparently is showing an interest. He could be playing in Saudi. He's had offers there before. But if he was to have a good World Cup, there may be a team. He wants to play Champions League football, he says. There may be someone thinking, yes, he has still got it. We could give him a year and take the, you know, hope that the marketing would pay for the deal. But I mean, or if not, he'll just end up sort of seeing out his career in the Middle East or the States and into semi-retirement, effectively.
Yeah, I think the next few weeks, Cristiano Ronaldo needs to make a real decision about his future, which is, does he want to get paid what he still thinks he's worth? Or at this stage of his career, with, you know, the fortune that he already has in the bank, does he want to choose a situation in which he may be able to extend his record number of Champions League goals? You know, one of the very revealing stories that we had in the book that I think illuminates a lot about what Cristiano Ronaldo is like is when he ran into a former physio from the Sporting Lisbon youth team who went to a Real Madrid match in 2016 and asked to say hello afterwards. And Ronaldo eventually met him in the car park and pulled from his pocket a printout of every major trophy and record that he had achieved or broken during his career and proceeded to spend, you know, 10 minutes walking with this physio. Video he hadn't seen for sort of 25 years, walked him through everything that he had accomplished as if to sort of justify what he'd done and what his career had been since he'd left Sporting. This is a guy who's one of the most famous people on the world. You know, completely unnecessary for him to do. And yet he obviously feels some sort of need to justify himself, that records and the numbers and all those things that we think, you know, doesn't really mean a lot to athletes themselves, they mean a lot to Cristiano Ronaldo. He loves to be able to put a number on his achievement.
Interesting stuff, Jonathan. Thanks ever so much for joining us at Ungodly Hour from your point of view. So enjoy the rest of the tournament and best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Jonathan Clegg there. Joshua Robinson is the co-author, Messi versus Ronaldo. And that's out now. It's been out for a couple of weeks. And I mean,
I'd like to see him at Torquay.
Yeah, why not? He could do a job down there. That's right.
Honestly, the ego. He's such an unattractive person. He really is.
Well, it was a big one today, wasn't it? First player to score in 5 World Cups.
Yes.
I mean, he'll add that to the piece of paper.
Oh, he will. Absolutely will.
Imagine his edition of This Is Your Life would have been like. Everybody who came on would have spent 10 minutes reading it through with a piece of paper.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Well, Andy came into the TalkSport studios a couple of weeks ago, like absolutely beaming. He could not take the smile off his face. I knew it definitely wasn't Chelsea related.
Yeah, that's true.
The news, of course, had come out that Neighbours was to return on Amazon next year. Won a reprieve. New episodes, the entire back catalogue. I'm sure he'll watch from episode one religiously as soon as it's all up on Amazon Freevee. And of course, we have the hotline to Neighbours via a friend of the show, Dr. Carl Kennedy in the series, Alan Fletcher. We're delighted to say he joins us now from
Hello, Melbourne. Paul. Hello, Andy. Lovely to speak to you, particularly at a time like this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we're gonna get the football out the way. So I say it's 8:30 with you in the morning when we're recording this, and you've been watching some highlights of the tournament. I wonder what the fallout was to the Socceroos' performance. Went in front, did pretty well for sort of half an hour or so, but the class told a little bit with France, didn't it, in the end?
Yeah, well, France are pretty good at laying the trap. You know, they get the team feeling easy with themselves, and then, when Mbappe decides to get going, he gets going. But I have to say, when Craig Goodwin first scored, you would think here in Australia, if you're in any of the bars, we'd actually just won the World Cup. hardly surprising. It's the first goal in open play since 2014, Tim Cahill. So we don't get a lot of goals, so we celebrate them when they do come. We're completely outclassed. I think probably the big interest for us is going to be the Tunisia game, which we get to see at a very civilised time here in Australia. But I have to say, goodness me, you know, it seems like, a million years ago, the last World Cup. I am loving this World Cup. There's so many highlights. There's so much to enjoy. Alex Sarker's first strike for England, absolute ripper. And I've just got up to watch Richarlison's beautiful volley against Serbia, you know. So it's there's been some beautiful stuff. See if you agree with me, but I'm trying to spare a thought for the keepers, because I'm seeing a lot of highlights and all I'm seeing is goals. You know, there's just players putting the ball past the keepers, but Gonda's save was a match winner, and Mohamed Alaouz was obviously against Saudi. Yeah, I think he won the game for him. So the keepers are doing some fantastic stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's been a few nil-nils, maybe more than we had in Russia, but we've seen some games with lots of goals in, or it's been sort of feast or famine. So are you watching it through a Liverpool prism, Alan? Are you kind of looking at Darwin Nunes and all the Liverpool players and how they're doing?
I haven't caught up with the Uruguay game yet. I've actually got it on tape. So I don't know how Darwin did anything, but Virgil kept a clean sheet in the Netherlands. We haven't seen Trent and Henderson yet, so hopefully the next game we'll see them. I mean, I must say I'm very impressed with England's game, and you know the hearts must be swelling with hope in Blighty at the moment.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we always get completely carried away. It was hard to judge, you know, because Iran have got so many problems. It was hard to judge that game about how good England were. We'll find out tomorrow night, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, yeah. Alan, look, at the time, we're really interested. And I know Andy is.
Oh, yeah, I am.
So how did Neighbours win this reprieve? How did you hear the news? When did you when the series finished over in Australia, was there a possibility of it coming back, or did this come out of the blue?
Well, it came out of the blue for me completely. You know, financing TV shows is a very complex matter, and they really kept a very close lid on this one. First I heard, my executive producer just said to me, wanted to pop round and deliver something to me. It had been sitting under his desk for a while. It was a beautiful photo frame. And he popped around and sat down to have a chat, and he broke the news to me. Well, I've never experienced shock like it, I have to say. It was the least expected thing that could have happened. And he, on that day, he went to see the four main people who they've signed up. That's myself and Susan, Toadie and Paul. He saw them all in one morning and sealed us up for a deal, and off we were going. But there were no details beyond that. They're still planning the show.
Yeah, if they need a rabbi in, you know, in Harold's in the background, I'm there. I'm your
sure.
man.
I'm sure they'll talk to Paul about that.
It'll be quite a left field casting, wouldn't it? English rabbi comes over completely out of nowhere and just. So well, yeah. At the moment, so there's the kind of core of the old cast. I mean, are they still approaching other members of the sort of the greater cast? And how many shows will there be? They've said it's going to be a series. Will it be an indefinite run like a soap, or will it be a limited series, Alan? Do we know yet?
Oh, Paul, I hate coming onto any show and not being able to answer questions, but I just don't know. It's a very, very earlier stages of planning. Mm. And, you know, as I say, they have kept a lot close to their chest because there's sensitivities here involved as well. There were a lot of casts in the show previously. And I think out of respect to them, they're not making sort of, you know, piecemeal announcements. But I'm sure the one thing I am sure of, and I'm completely sure of this because I've been assured of it, is that the Neighbours that everybody loved, the Neighbours that 5 million people came out to watch for the last episode in the UK, that Neighbours will stay true, and the people who loved it will continue to love it. I'm absolutely sure of that. So hopefully, late 2023, those 5 million people and maybe a few more will come out of the woodwork again to watch the show.
Excellent.
And more good news, because you've been very brave and bold about your suffering of alopecia. But I noticed today from Instagram, your eyebrows are back. That's got to be a good thing.
It is. I'm very fortunate. We have a leading world expert in alopecia here in Australia, and he injected my eyebrows with a cortisone treatment that, you know, I'm being treated for alopecia with some sort of miracle drugs, one of which has actually just been approved in the UK for the treatment of alopecia. So these drugs are, I've got a bit of fuzz on my head now, Andy. You won't recognize me when you see me.
I'll have some of that if you can.
Yeah, but the alopecia is certainly the eyebrows are back. And every morning I get up and I go into the bathroom and to have a shave. I have to shave these days because the beard's coming back. And I count my eyelashes because it's just kind of weird not having eyelashes, but they're coming back too.
Brilliant. Well, look, Alan, it's lovely to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. We will catch up with you, I'm sure, as we get more news about as Neighbours take shape. But for now, great to talk to you, and thanks for joining us.
Lovely to chat, chaps. I'll see you in March. I'll be over in March.
Brilliant. Lovely. We'll see you in the studio. Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys. Talk
Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs' daily World Cup podcast from Talk Sport.
Yes, we turn to England now and that huge game against the USA tomorrow evening, and joining us ahead of that from englandfootball.org, it is Dom Smith. Hello, Dom.
Hello.
So I suppose we should get your thoughts on the first game. I mean, it probably went better than we all thought, didn't it? Probably better than you did as a seasoned England watcher.
Yeah, I mean, England have, even in the last sort of 10, 20 years, when England tournaments, bar sort of the Southgate era, have been as bad as they've ever been, England have always done well at starting tournaments well in terms of performances. The problem is they barely ever get good results in tournament openers. But certainly under, you know, even under Capello and Hodgson, England started tournaments with their opening games playing pretty well, but rarely got the right results. But this was, you know, this was similar to Southgate's first two tournaments where they beat Tunisia in the opener in Russia and they beat Croatia at the Euros, except the difference here is that England didn't win by one goal, they won by four. Mm. They were pretty rampant, of course. And I mean, look, the stoppages in the first half and actually in the second broke up play, but after that delay and the injury to the goalkeeper, Alireza Behrenvand, I mean, England got going, they got into some kind of rhythm, I suppose, and they were fantastic. It's pretty much the best half of football I've watched from England for years.
Yeah, that's good.
Having seen all the other teams now, where do you place England? I mean, they've got to be in the top eight, without a doubt, I would have thought.
Oh, they're in the top eight, definitely. I mean, coming into this tournament, it was only really Brazil and Argentina among the, you know, inverted commas, big nations who came in with any sort of form and were making the most of the players they've got at their disposal. The Netherlands, to be fair, under Louis van Gaal have been okay as well. And they won their opener when so many of these big nations haven't. But of course, Argentina came unstuck against Saudi Arabia. We've seen a few of the other big sides drop point. Germany were desperately disappointing against Japan. I mean, listen, I think England are one of the four or five teams who are most likely to go all the way, because I think actually there is genuine solidity about this England team, and not just solidity, but I think that they all know how each other play in a way that some of the other major nations maybe don't. Often when you watch Belgium play, and to be fair, this can be the case for Spain, even though they were incredible against Costa Rica. These are sides who you often look like it's just a group of players playing together, but England, they all seem to have the same kind of style and they want to play football in the same way. And you see, with England, when the players come off and new players come on, you don't ever feel that the kind of style of play or the feel of the game is necessarily going to change too much. And I think that's a real, real compliment to the work of Steve Holland and Gareth Southgate, to be fair.
There were players coming into this tournament, Dom, that weren't in great nick. Raheem Sterling, as Andy said, not had the best of times at Chelsea, but he had a pretty decent game the other day. Harry Maguire had a decent game as well before he went off with illness, considering what's been
it's
going on.
It's a bit of a relief,
with...
isn't it, when you're playing? Yeah. You know, when you're playing in a struggling team and you go to a team that are doing all right, yeah, they've got some confidence, it's got to be better.
Do you expect England to start with the same team tomorrow? Do you expect them to start with the same team that started the Iran game?
Yeah, I mean, everyone before the Iran game, apart from James Maddison, was fit to play. And although there have been scares for the likes of Harry Kane, I think the same is the case for tomorrow. It's the case that only really Maddison won't feature or couldn't feature. But I do think he'll stick with the same team. I mean, Walker's fit now, but he was also fit before the opening game and didn't play when people would have expected him to line up alongside Maguire and Stones in that kind of back three that we've become so used to seeing under Southgate's tournament teams. No, listen, I think it will be the same team, and I hope it will be the same team, because there was such balance about that. You had Rice as a proper defensive midfielder. You had Mount, who's so good off the ball at pressing as a number 10, so disciplined positionally. And then you had Bellingham as a sort of hybrid eight, doing all of the work in between what was prescribed to Rice and what was prescribed to Mount. It worked perfectly, and I'd like to see it again.
Yeah, I think we all would, definitely. Dom, definitely. Thank you ever so much. I'm sure we'll catch up with you later in the tournament. You can read Dom's thoughts on England at englandfootball.org. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
So there we are. It's Dom Smith. And that is us for another day. Tomorrow, of course, I probably don't need to talk you through the games. We've got Wales at 10 o'clock in the morning against Iran, which we're very much looking forward to. We've got the England game.
I'll watch that one till Wales score. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, okay. We got Qatar Senegal, Andy, at lunchtime.
Yeah, definitely not watching that.
Fair enough. And what about the Dutch? Another hit of the Dutch against Ecuador. You've just pulled Andy pulled a face. There he is.
But I am excited about England because winning the World Cup will be worth billions to the economy, apparently, and may even save the country from recession. A successful England team would improve our appeal abroad. I was thinking, no, wouldn't they just hate us even more than they do now?
That's exactly what it would be like. So our guests tomorrow include Charlie Baker's going to join us.
Oh, good.
I've got a West Country corner for him, by the way. So we'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But Charlie's going to be here to look back on England and Wales and all the other matches and give us his thoughts on the tournament so far. So we'll enjoy the matches tomorrow, and we'll catch up with you to reflect on those tomorrow.
Talk Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs daily World Cup podcast from Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.